If you have a Bible or a phone, why don't you open it up to 1 Peter chapter 5. We are close to the end of our series on 1 Peter. We're in the last chapter. You'll see it's not a very long chapter, but it's going to take us about 5 weeks to get through it because there's some significant and weighty themes in 1 Peter chapter 5. And so we don't want to rush through them. You know how we do it here. We go through all the verses and normally fairly slowly, but we don't want to speed through the end of 1 Peter 5. And I'm going to read this passage that we're dealing with today, and then we'll dive into it from verse 1 of chapter 5. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed. Shepherd God's flock among you, not overseen out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not out of greed for money, but eagerly. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So today's passage is on elders, and it's directed specifically to elders. And so some of you might be thinking, well, why are we doing it as a whole church? Why don't you just get the elders together for a meeting and just remind them what this says here, and then we can all go home? Well, I'll give you a few reasons. I think this is an incredibly important passage, and any reference to elders or eldership or leadership in a church is worth the rest of the church taking note. Leadership in a church, somebody once said that so go the leaders, so go the church. And so if you consider this to be your spiritual home, or even if it's another church or whatever, or you're just visiting here, or you don't go to church, or you're not a Christian yet, and you're thinking about maybe joining a church or something like that, the leadership of any church that you are a part of is significantly important according to the Bible. As the leaders go, so goes the rest of the church. And we live on a continent which doesn't have a brilliant picture necessarily of leadership of churches. It's almost like every week, again, in the news, you see a different pastor who's lost his mind and has got himself into hot water. Tona made reference to my second Maserati. I'm like, I don't know where I parked the first one, but anyway, there's different churches where the pastor does drive, maybe not a Maserati, but other like things. I saw one video of this guy arriving at church. He's got the whole of the JMPD, the Metro cops, like clearing the road for this dude on the way to the church to go and speak. And he rocks up there in this like fancy, I don't know even what car it is. It's obviously too expensive for me. It's one of these ones that there are not many of. Opens, there's this red carpet like leading into the church, and out he pops in his suit and he wanders in and stuff. And I'm like, the church people were like, woohoo, we're celebrating. Like, this is amazing. Check it out, man of God. Like, this oak rocks. And I'm like, oh, Lord. Like, one day that oak is going to stand before the King of Kings. And it's not going to be pretty. It's not. It's going to be an absolute mess for him. I don't even know what his name is. That kind of stuff is grievous. And all across our nation and across our continent, we have leaders of churches who are taking people's money, lording it over them. We'll get to that in this passage. Asking them to eat grass, spraying them with doom. Was it doom? They're spraying people with doom, making them crawl around and do all weird things and stuff. It's just like, heaven weeps over that mess. Heaven weeps over that. And those men will face the King of Kings. And like I said, it's not going to be pretty. So goes the leaders of your church, so goes the church. It's super, super important how your leaders behave, what kind of leaders you have in a church. And so this passage this morning is a reminder to those who are elders of this church. It is a word to those who want to be elders. And part of my prayer this morning, as I've been praying for us as a church, is that some of you would hear this passage this morning and God would awaken something in you and desire to be an elder of either this church or another church. And it's a word to congregations around what you can expect from your leaders. So this is what you should expect from your leaders. Before we dive into the exact specifics of this passage, I just want to make a couple of points here around elders and eldership. And the first thing is this, that a biblical church has elders. A biblical church has elders. You see it both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I suppose you could say it in some senses that you don't actually have a church until you have elders. You have a gathering of people, but you don't have a biblical church unless there are elders. That's why when you read the New Testament, as Paul goes around planting churches, he's preaching, God's doing amazing things, people are coming to faith all over the place, and then he sends Timothy and he sends others around saying, go back and put everything in order and appoint elders everywhere. People have come to faith, there's a whole crowd of them, but they need elders. They need elders, they need elders, they need elders. When you have an eldership that are caring for and guiding and governing and shepherding a church, then you have a church. Until then, you've got a loose association of Christians. And I say that because there is, in some ways, a growing trend around the world in different places for Christians who are disaffected with church. They're like, oh, we don't really like church. Let's just get together in our house and have like a thing, and let's sing and pray and read and just be cool. Like, we don't need all the structure and the formal thing, and we definitely don't want anyone over us. We don't want any elders, anyone telling us what to do, all that kind of stuff. Let's just do our own thing, and we'll be free in the Lord, and it'll be rad, and all that kind of stuff. And that's happening in some ways more and more as people get disaffected with some of the abuses in church. And I understand why it's happening. All I'm saying is it's not a biblical model. You have something there, and people would call it a house church. I would say it's a house gathering. You can't call it a church unless it's a gathering under elders, because that's what the Bible has. It says it's elders. There is structure in the Bible, and it's a God-given and glorious thing. The second thing I would say is that the Bible places a massive importance on good elders, and it calls out bad eldership. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Listen to this from Ezekiel chapter 34. This will stress you out if you're considering eldership. So Ezekiel 34 is a longer passage on the elders of the nation kind of thing, the elders who are over the people. And this is describing their shoddiness. I think it's up here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Ezekiel 34 from verse 4. You have not strengthened the weak, healed the sick, bandaged the injured, brought back the strays, or sought the lost. Instead, you have ruled them with violence and cruelty. And that thing goes on and on and on. And basically what God says is like, you yokes have sucked in your job as elders. I'm stepping in here. I'm taking over. I'm getting my people back to me. Because you were supposed to do all of these things and you didn't do them. And those elders face the judgment of God. The Bible places a massive weight on good eldership, and it calls out poor shepherding. You're going to hear again and again this morning the imagery of shepherding. This whole Ezekiel 34 is about shepherds. And that's the picture that God chooses. One of the pictures God chooses to use in the scriptures is of himself as a shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, and elders as shepherds, and congregants, Christians as sheep, as the flock. You know, I mean, we're not a very, agrarian community here. So like most of you, maybe you've never even met a sheep, you know. True story. I mean, I'm sure. So you don't have much, you know, like this feels like it's an illustration from somewhere else kind of thing. But the Bible describes us as sheep, and then elders as shepherds, and Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. And there's a lot of good reasons for that, and I think we'll look at a couple of those things if we've got time this morning. Everyone loves Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is about sheep and shepherds, and that picture, obviously it was very common for them back in this time. But for us, it's a bit disconnected. But that's the theme that traces all the way through. And Ezekiel 34 is about these poor shepherds, these bad elders who were neglecting the care of the people. The care of the people. They weren't doing all of these things. And the one that I thought was particularly, two areas, brought back the strays and sought the lost. Thinking that was one thing, that if you aspire to eldership, that's one thing that is on the list. is going to find the sheep that have wandered. Going and bringing in the lost. Like that image of Jesus, you know, the story of the lost sheep. Wandering, leaving the 99 and going and fetching the one and bringing it back. And there's great rejoicing in the one that returns. There's a lot of, you know, the 99 love you sometimes. You can hang out with the 99 as a shepherd and be like, oh, 99, I've got 99 here. An elder's heart is like, I think there's one who's wandered. And as some of you, as God progresses, some of you towards eldership or leadership in a church, that's how you know God is maturing you, as you're looking around on a Sunday. It's like, I haven't seen somebody here for a few weeks. Notice they're missing. They normally sit over there. They're not here. I wonder if they need a phone call or a WhatsApp or a visit. I'm going to go fetch the ones who are wandering, who haven't been at CG for ages. You know who is a real gift to our church? And this is Erwin. How many of you, Erwin's wandered up to you when you haven't been here for a few weeks and he's just like, I haven't seen you around. Now he's leaving. Erwin's wandering. Everything's falling apart here. Okay. We have to find a new Erwin. I should have warned him I was going to mention his name. I'm sorry, Erwin. The third thing that the Bible makes clear is that there's a joy in the right relationship between elders in the church. That when there's a healthy relationship between the elders and the church, it's a great joy. And there's an encouragement to the congregation to prioritize right relationship with the elders. Listen to this from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It's an instruction to the congregation. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. This is a word to a congregation. It says, like, look, if you make the elders' lives a headache, it's unprofitable. That is a hard word. Unprofitable for you. So submit to them and make their serving a joy, because it'll be a good thing for you. And listen to the weight of what they are called to there. They keep watch over your souls as people who are men who will give an account. If you aspire to eldership in any sense, that verse should terrify you in a good and purifying way. For Tono and for Pete and for Quent and I, the prayed in elders at the moment of this church, one day we will stand before the King of Kings and I will give an account for your souls. I will give an account to Jesus Christ of what did I do? How did I shepherd those of you who God, you'll hear it in another verse, who God entrusted to me as a shepherd to care for you before God. That is a high and it's a holy calling, but it's a sobering one. But there's the joy of the right relationship between the elders and the church. The last intro thing here is there's a seriousness of the privilege. In Acts 28, Paul's talking to the elders there in verse 28 of chapter 28. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That last bit, he purchased it with his own blood. It's his church. It's the church of God. He purchased it with his own blood, and he's made you an overseer through the Holy Spirit. So keep watch over yourselves and over those people. Keeping watch. It's one of the most important things you get to do as an elder, is to think and pray through the church. And this is one of the things that we do when we meet together. Some of you may not know this. We meet every Tuesday morning at Hoppers 5. In winter, you feel like a real Christian. Coming together to pray. And we pray for people by name, and we think through different things and different people in the church. And we pray and we pray. And we mention your names to God. It's not the only time we do it. It's one of the only times we do it when we're all together. But bringing you, keeping watch over your souls as people who should give account. Say, Lord, we pray for Will Oldner this morning. Whatever he's facing at work, the pressures, the stresses, guide him and guard him as he leads his family. For Amy Falker, what she's got. We mention you by name. Because part of our job is to bring you to God and say, God, whatever they're facing this week, whatever may come, some of the challenges we know, some we don't. Lord, would you help them? Would you give them grace? Would you put strength into them? We We'll pray for all the moms every week, especially the moms with young kids. Motherhood is freaking overwhelming a lot of the time. We pray for you every single week. We pray for the dads. We pray for the folks who run companies. We pray that God would guard you, and we want to, you know, guard the flock like that, because God's made us overseers of you through the Holy Spirit. But it's not our church. It's the church of God, and he bought it with his blood. I mean, that's a big deal. What else has been bought with blood? The blood of God. Nothing. Nothing other than the church has been bought with the blood of God himself. It's a big deal. The church is a glorious and wonderful thing. I already mentioned that there, but it's God's flock. You see it here. It says, like, he's shepherd God's flock among you. Who does Parkhurst belong to? Yeah, God. I know the way some people talk and say, like, have you visited Doug's church? You know, like, I suppose that's the shorthand way of saying Parkhurst or whatever else, and realize, like, hey, I lead the team here, so sort of it's my church. But this is not my church. This is God's church. I don't have a church. You know, I don't have a church. I serve, I get to be a shepherd here. But make no mistake, you are God's flock, and I'm part of the flock. You know, I think that's a word to elders always, any leader, like, you're first a sheep before you're a shepherd. You're first a sheep, not like an uber sheep. You're just a sheep. You're just like a regular rank and file sheep, but God has in his grace made you a shepherd as well. But don't ever forget, don't ever rush ahead and think, I'm a shepherd. I don't need shepherding. Sheep all need shepherding, and so do those of us who lead and who are elders. This is God's flock. Peter encourages the elders. He says, shepherd God's flock among you. These are all very important words. Among you. Am I responsible for Christians from other churches? No, I'm not. I'm responsible for the flock that's among us. I'm going to give an account for some of you, not for every believer I've ever met. That's not how it works. Elders don't have to worry about every Christian on the planet. There's local elders, local bodies, local flocks, as it were, that God puts shepherds over. And I just wanted to push on this a little bit. This is why membership of a church is important. This is why membership. Some of you are like, why should I ever become a member of a church? It's a way of saying, I'm identifying with this flock, and I'm identifying myself under these shepherds, and I'm making myself accountable to them, and I'm asking them to keep watch over my soul. That's why you become a member. Not that the church can control you, not so the church can take your money, not for a million other weird reasons. It's for this in some way, so the church can identify who is part of Parkhurst. At the moment, we have 90-something members at Parkhurst, and we have a database of 450-odd people. At the moment, we're going through a process. I'm scratching my head. I'm like, who do I give an account for? We want to beef this up a little bit, and I want to encourage you and say, come along to the Connect session, explore membership. If this is your home, if you're committing here, become a member. Put your hand up and say, I'm part of this flock. You're my shepherds. I'm the sheep. I'm in with this thing. Maybe God will make you a shepherd. But it helps to know who the flock is amongst us. Then as we close this, he gives three contrasts about how the elders should shepherd. He just lays it out there. He says, they should. First thing, he says, not under compulsion, but willingly. Not under compulsion, but willingly. Remember the context that 1 Peter's written in. It's a suffering, persecuted people. Who would have been attacked first? Who would have faced the most heat amongst these Christians, amongst these gatherings of believers when the persecution rose? The elders would have had to step up and face it. You see it in China at the moment. They lock up the leaders. You see, in any persecuted country, they go for the leaders of the churches first. They lock up the pastors. They don't go for the rank and file people in the church. They go for the leaders. You take away the leadership of the church, you strike the shepherd, and you scatter the sheep. That principle. And Satan's doing it in nation after nation around the world. And this would have been a very real thing here. So Peter writes to encourage them. And he writes as a fellow elder. He says, I write to you as a fellow elder. I'm not writing as a super apostle. I'm not pulling rank. I'm saying I'm also an elder here with you. I'm a fellow elder together with you. And I want to encourage you to shepherd God's flock, but I want to encourage you to do it not under compulsion, but willingly. It must be terrible to be an elder and to lead in the church because you feel you have to, not because you want to. You have to, not because you want to. That's crazy. Willingly. Don't need any other kind of external motivation. Somebody's watching over your shoulder, some denomination or whatever, saying, hey, make sure that you shepherd these people. If you do it willingly without compulsion, there's life-giving in a church for leaders who serve like that. The second thing he says is not greedy for monetary gain, but eagerly. It's not about the money. It should never, ever be about the money. Some of us are staff elders, so we get paid as members of staff to serve in the church. I think that can easily lose its way. My prayer is in our church, as we grow and as God graces us, that most of our elders would be non-staff elders, unpaid elders. And at the moment, Tono and Pete, they contribute to the economy and they work in proper jobs, you know. And they bear the burden of eldership. It's a big ask. They've got lives, they've got work, they've got jobs like you got, then they've got families and stuff, and then they've got the church to care for and flock to shepherd and guard and God. It's a full plate. And they particularly need your prayers because life is complicated like that. It's just layer on layer on layer on stuff. And yet, I want to say in our church, in any church you ever end up, if the pastor starts to talk too much about money and how much he needs and his Maserati and all that kind of stuff, just run. Just run to the next church where you get a sense that the person would lead those people and shepherd that flock without any return. It's not about the money. They're in it because they love the people and they want to shepherd the flock. And yeah, they have needs, but they're primary thing is that I'm not worried about the money, I'm worried about the people. That's the heart of leaders that you need in churches. And the third thing he says is not lording it over the people, but being examples. Not lording it over them. It's like I'm the leader here. You know, if you're going to do what I said. I mean, I think that's some of the abuses that you see across our continent. This is something that you always need to be mindful of. And if you ever see any of this in me or in us as elders, you need to call it out as a congregant. This is part of your responsibility as a sheep, is to call out the shepherds when you feel there's this over abuse of authority. There is authority. It's God-given, and it's for the safekeeping and the health of the church, but lording over looks very different to leading with humble, God-given authority. And lording it over the people, you're like, oh, I'm the pastor, I'm the man of God. I hate that phrase. I hate that phrase. I do. I don't hate a lot of things, but I do hate that phrase. Because what it is like he's the man of God. And then you can't touch him. You can't argue with the man of God. Because he's God's apostle, holy anointed one, whatever else. It makes me sick driving around Joburg, seeing all these signs, the X on the billboard there. Apostle, prophet, whatever. You need a whole bunch. If you need a whole bunch of titles to beef up who you are, you're getting it all wrong. You don't understand that leaders of churches are humble shepherds under the great shepherd. And your commitment is to lay down your life for the sheep. You don't bolster your name with a whole bunch of stuff, make yourself feel like you're the most important person at the church. It's utter nonsense. That is lording it over people. He says, don't do that, but be an example to them. Be an example. The leaders in the church should be the most humble people in the church. I suppose that's shining the mirror on us, on me. It's provoking, preaching this stuff. So am I the most humble person in Parkhurst? Am I striving to be the godliest person here? Not because I'm perfect, but because we as elders, we want to be examples to the flock. If you look at the leaders in any church that you're in and say, I couldn't pattern my life after those people, you're in the wrong place. You need leaders, according to the scriptures, who you can pattern your life after and be an example as you follow them, as they follow Jesus. Then Peter closes out with an amazing promise to them. It's amazing. He He says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Anyone who's an elder, my brothers, I want to encourage you in this. I read this week, and there's some areas of church life that are always a bit bumpy. And I mean, I think I'm a bit tired of some of the things, and we've taken a couple of knocks to the head in some areas. And you know, I don't have a heart of stone. These things affect me emotionally in some stuff, and we've ridden some ups and downs as a leadership team this year. And I read this and I was like, everything that we have suffered and every loss and every hardship that Claire and I and our family have felt in leading church over many years, it's all 100 times worth it. Because one day I'm going to stand and I'm going to look at Jesus, and he's going to look at me and he's going to say, here is an unfading crown of glory. No one will ever take it away from you, and it'll make everything worthwhile. It'll make everything feel like it is just a paper cut kind of thing. And it put a lot of strength into me. First, it finished me off. I was just like, I don't deserve an unfading crown. I don't. None of you do. And you know what? The cool thing is that everyone gets one. It's not just the elders. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 24, I think it's up on the screen, it says, don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. This is all the runners in the race. That's all of you who run in a way to make it to the end. You're all going to get it. An imperishable crown from Jesus Christ himself. That's what they used to get, these little florally wreath things. You know, looks nice when you get it, and then a couple weeks later, some of you like that kind of stuff. You like drying out flowers and all that kind of stuff. And hey, Claire, you went through a phase of that, but I'm thankfully she's done with it. You know, it looks great, and then it just dries, and it just looks a bit less great. But this imperishable crown that awaits all of us who run faithfully to the end. I want to encourage you, if your faith is wavering, if some of you are feeling like, what's the point? You're wanting to compromise, you're wanting to stop running or whatever, stop pressing in. You've got to keep your eyes on that day. Keep your eyes on that day when the King of Glory will eyeball you face to face and give you a crown that will never ever fade. Man, it's going to make it all worthwhile, and it's a specific encouragement to the elders. The last thing I want to say, I want to talk about the chief shepherd. It's the best part of this passage, isn't it? It says, when the chief shepherd appears, that's what's going to happen. He's coming back. He is the chief shepherd. It's encouraging that God gives churches elders, and he calls them to elder in godly ways and to serve the people. But all of God's people fall under the care of the great shepherd, the good shepherd. This is, Jesus describes himself like this in John 10. He says, I am the good shepherd of the sheep. He said, I'm not like a hired hand who, when there's some heat and some opposition, he runs away. When his life's in danger, he just bails on the sheep and leaves them to fend for themselves. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. This is the gospel for you this morning. Jesus Christ laid down his life for you, your great shepherd. Because Tono and Pete and Quint and I and other leaders and future elders, we're not going to meet all of your needs. We're not going to care for you the way that we should always. We don't have the insight into all the inner workings of your heart and your life and your needs. We can't protect, we can't guide, we can't govern, we can't direct your life, we can't discern every last thing. But there is a great shepherd who loves you and knows every single thing that you need. And you are in his hands and you're under his care. And when I read that and I thought about that this week, I was so deeply encouraged that as a sheep, I have a good shepherd who is taking care of every last detail of my life with absolute care. He's guiding me. He's protecting me. He's leading me, protecting, I don't know which P's I've already gone through there. He's doing everything that I most need and a million things that I can't see. And I can fully trust my life in his care because he's promised to be the great shepherd of my life. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian. This is part of the message of the gospel that you need to hear. This is what it means to become a Christian. It's to say that you're a sheep. It's to recognize that you're a sheep who needs shepherding. That you need care. You need protection. You need guidance. You need help. And Jesus promises to be a great shepherd, the best shepherd to you. And it starts with you placing your faith and your trust in him. That he can do that and that he can care for you. I want us to pray as we close, preach before we go into communion. I want to pray for our leaders and for us as a church that God would grace us with a unity, a togetherness, that God would raise up new elders amongst us and help those of us who lead to lead in godly ways, and that we would rejoice together in his great shepherding of us. Let's pray together. Jesus, we want to acknowledge again this morning that you are the great shepherd of your sheep. You are the leader of your church. And we want to acknowledge again this morning that you lead this church. We are under your authority, your leadership. We want to celebrate that and recognize that and humble ourselves under it again. I want to pray for my fellow leaders in this church, that you would grace us with the help and the presence of the Holy Spirit to lead in humble, godly ways that point to you, that exhibit righteousness, that are full of humility, that help your people, that you would keep our hearts pure and our hands clean as we serve you, that you would grow us and mature us and keep us close to you. That I pray, Father, that you would raise up more elders amongst us. I want to pray that you would spark something, that you would stir something in people this morning hearing this towards eldership, planting a seed or fanning a flame, whatever you have or whatever work you're doing. Please give us more elders for this church and for future churches. And please preserve our unity in this church. Give us a wonderful relationship between those who lead by serving and the congregation who respond to that as we all seek to follow you.